Welcome to the Pretty Deadly Podcast, a weekly show about self-defense and teaching self-defense and martial arts to women. I'm Susie Kolick, the founder of Pretty Deadly Self-Defense, and today we're going to be talking about what not to wear. Ooh, what do I mean by that? Hang on, I'll explain. But before I go on, have you ever shared the ways you keep yourself safe or de-escalate threats with your close friends or family members? Would you be willing to share it with the world? We're putting together a database of women's wisdom, basically, where we can share and learn from women all over the world and how we keep ourselves safe. I've had the privilege of working with women in Pakistan, Uganda, Jamaica, Nepal, Latin America, across Europe, the U.S., and I have learned so much from these women who usually just have, like, one go-to move or evasion or response that works really well for them, but that I've never even thought of because I don't come from the same culture. So if you are interested in contributing and learning, send an email to hi@teamprettydeadly.com with the word database in the subject line, and we'll connect you to the file. Back to our topic, what not to wear. When I was growing up, it was still the common belief that women were assaulted because of the things that we wore, that our sexuality and our bodies and our beauty drove men wild to the point where they couldn't control themselves and they had to violently satisfy their own needs on our bodies, I guess. So the idea of a skirt being too short, of heels being too high, of pants being too tight or trousers being too tight, of a blouse being too loose, of too much makeup, of too much jewelry, of too much this, too much that, too little this, too little that, whatever it is. It really didn't matter in a lot of ways. I mean, if you start putting a list together of all the different things women aren't supposed to wear, they start to contradict themselves. There are still some places in the world that really believe this from a cultural or societal point of view. Women in those regions are trying to change it, but men are sort of clinging on to the, like, well, you shouldn't have worn XYZ and then this wouldn't have happened to you. But I think in Europe, where I live now, and in the United States, it's more accepted that it has nothing to do with what a woman wears and has everything to do with the person who decides to do violence. That being said, often in self-defense classes, women are still told not to wear certain things. You would not believe the amount of times people ask me whether it's okay to wear a ponytail or not. This is an old urban myth. I have no idea where it comes from, apart from male caveman fantasy of grabbing women by the hair and dragging them off into a cave somewhere. It's a ridiculous thing to do because whether you have long hair, whether you have short hair, whether it's in a ponytail, a bun, a braid, it's down, it's up, it's to the side, it's a mohawk, it really doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter because it's not your choice. It's somebody else's choice to do violence. That's all it boils down to. So there's still levels of victim blaming. And even this is changing a little bit in North America and in Europe. Not as fast as I would like to see it change, but it is changing. And now it's down to the devices that we wear. And this is kind of the same thing. It's a really common thing to tell people, don't wear your headphones in the street. Don't wear your earbuds when you're walking around. Don't stare at the phone. Pay attention to your surroundings. But you are asking people to not use devices that they have spent a lot of money on in the way that these devices are meant to be used. So some of this is related to the female tax, meaning we pay the same amount of money for a pair of headphones, for example, wireless headphones, but we can only use them half the time, which means we're actually paying twice as much money as men. Men can use the headphones all the time because they're less likely to be targeted for violence. I'm kind of simplifying this, but that's how the logic goes. Personally, and within Pretty Deadly, whether it's female tax, whether it's a good idea or not, what we really want to look at is just human behavior. You know what? You're going to wear the earbuds. You're going to wear the headphones. You're going to be looking at your phone because that's what we do. These things are here. We're using them. We've spent good money on them. Phones are designed to feel good in your hand. Their smartphones are filled with stuff that is designed specifically to keep you glued to the phone for hours. TikTok. Yeah, I just got that relationship. That's kind of really cynical. But okay. So I lost my train of thought for a second. Telling people not to use their devices is not self-defense. It's just telling people not to do stuff, not to live their lives. I think it's also important to remember that a lot of women specifically use our phones to protect ourselves. In Pretty Deadly, we have a unit where we teach people how to use the phone as a weapon, like a physical weapon. But a lot of women use their phones to pretend to call someone. They're trying to signal to the person that they're feeling threatened by that, hey, there's someone who knows where I am right now. There's someone who cares about me. They will often be pretending to read a text or reading something on the phone as a way to shut someone out who's trying to infringe on their space. I see that a lot on subway trains. They sometimes will pretend to call the police, even though they're not actually calling the police on their phone. I know someone who, in a threatening situation, pretended to call the police and then described exactly what the people who were threatening her were wearing, which got them very nervous, and then they ran off. I think telling people not to use their phones is not very realistic. I think the idea of incorporating these things into our self-defense practice makes a lot more sense. It's true, if you have your earbuds in or your headphones in, it's easier for someone to sneak up on you. You can't hear them coming. You may not be aware. You might be focused the same. If you're walking around with your phone in your hand, you're focused in this very small area and you're not seeing anything that's happening around you. But that being said, surprise is surprise. I am someone who does not walk around with headphones or earbuds or very often glued to my phone while I'm walking. The earbuds and the headphones are simply because I don't like it. I don't like to wear them in general. I just don't like stuff on my head. I don't walk around glued to my phone because I'm a bit older and it hurts my eyes when I look at the screen for too long. So there we go. It's not because I'm a martial artist or because I teach self-defense and I'm always, you know, on the lookout and aware. It's for some pretty simple and organic reasons that I don't do this. But it doesn't make me any better than people who do it. And it doesn't make me any less at risk of being surprised. Surprise is surprise. You can have the most highly trained assassin, sniper in the world will get surprised because it's a human reaction. They might get surprised by something different than you. It might be they're surprised by a child's sudden smile, a change in weather that they weren't expecting. You know, it could be anything, but we all get surprised. And we have the same reaction to surprise of a moment of freezing, like what? While our brain catches up trying to figure out what just happened or what is happening. All of this is normal. Martial arts training and years and years and years of martial arts training will train your reaction to adopt a sort of immediately post-surprise posture of being relaxed and ready to take action. But that takes years and years and years of training. It's also totally okay to just be surprised for a second. And be shocked for a second and even be still for a second because of it. It's what we do next that counts. I think asking people not to wear headphones, not to look at their phone, not to wear the earbuds, not to wear ponytails is the same thing as asking people not to walk down a dark street. We know. We know that that's dangerous, but damn it, sometimes that's the only way home. I mean, what are you going to do? What I don't like about all of this are things like the kind of safety accoutrement, we could say. I'm not a big fan of tracking apps, although recently on some of my travels, I did appreciate the fact that people knew where I was. Not tracking so much, but just kind of updating each other on WhatsApp. So I'm a little more comfortable with that now, but I still have a problem with it because it's not always reliable. If there's no internet connection, even if you do call for help, are you calling people who know how to help? If it's your friends and family network, do they actually know how to come and help you in a situation? If it's the police that you're calling, do they know how to come and help you? Do you feel safe? I mean, if you're a person with dark skin, that might not be a good option for you in America, right? That could work in other countries, but maybe not in the US. If you are an LGBTQ person, if you are a woman of a certain age, I mean, there's a lot of people who aren't safe with the police. You know, I'm not going to go down through the whole list. And that's in every country, not just in the United States. So calling the police isn't always an option. But even if you do call the police, even if you do hit that SOS button, you're still waiting for them to show up. It's not like you can say to the person that's threatening you, I mean, you could actually see what happens. You know, hang on a minute, help is coming, don't do anything. You still have to deal with that person, which again is why I prefer to learn how my body works and how I can use my body in ways that I know I can trust and count on, right? What I really, really hate, and I'm just going to say this because I've been very polite about it for the past few years, because I talk to people in different areas of women's self-defense and some people who are creating these kinds of alarms, they're bullshit. I'm sorry. They're just bullshit. The idea of creating a really loud noise with some device is as useful as a car alarm. And I'm not talking about the current car alarms that will lock the doors and freeze the engine. I'm talking about 1980s version car alarms, 1990s version car alarms, which, yeah, it makes a lot of noise, but you get so used to it because they go off at the drop of a hat that nobody takes it seriously anymore, and they don't actually stop car theft. And again, that's something that's actually documented. But having to press a button, pull a ring, twist something, anything to make a noise aren't really natural body movements. Like you would have to practice that movement over and over again to make sure that that's what you do when you're panicking, when your amygdala takes over and you're in a fight or flight or freeze situation, when you're in a life-threatening situation. It's the same kind of training that you have to take to respond to a threat with a ready position as opposed to a freeze. Right? That's taken me about 20 years to be able to do. I can't imagine how long it would take someone to train themselves to whatever it is to activate that device. And they won't work forever. You know, at some point, it's if it might not deter the other person. And what's the natural progression with that kind of stuff anyway? You know, I mean, if I've got a ring or a keychain or whatever it is, and then people who do violence against women, they get used to, oh, there's going to be a loud noise, I know I can ignore it. Then what? What's my next progression? Is it like the car where the windows get locked? What does that look like for my body? A chastity belt? Is it like a car where the engine is turned off? Does that mean I just never leave the house? I could go on, and I won't. I know that people are making these things in earnest, but I just don't find them reliable. So back to what we're wearing or what we shouldn't be wearing. I mean, that's not to say you shouldn't be culturally sensitive, you know. Many, many years ago in 1995, I was in Turkey. I was visiting Konya, which is in the center of Turkey and where people are a little bit more conservative. It was August and it was really hot and I was wearing a sundress. I didn't know that at that time, I wasn't aware that baring my shoulders was a pretty risque thing to do. So I was walking down this, I was traveling with a guy that I was living with at the time. So we were walking down the street and all these men were staring at my shoulders, but I thought they were staring at someone behind me. And I kept thinking, oh, there must be this really beautiful woman right over my shoulder. But they were all staring very lustfully at my shoulders because they were bare. I didn't know that it would have been more appropriate for me to keep them covered in that part of the world. Luckily, I was with someone. I don't know if anything would have happened or not, but maybe something would have. And would I have deserved it? No. Could I have made a better choice? Maybe done a little research? Yes, absolutely. But also, I'm human, and I do stupid shit sometimes. We all do. Sometimes out of arrogance, sometimes out of ignorance, but we make mistakes. None of that justifies or even excuses violence at the hands and the choice of another human being. But you can forgive yourself the mistakes, and you cannot beat yourself up for using your expensive iPhone in the way it's supposed to be used. It's okay. You have been listening to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. You can learn more about who we are and what we do and how to find a Pretty Deadly course near you by visiting our website at prettydeadlyselfdefense.com. And if you're a fitness or martial arts pro and you'd like to enhance your instructor skills, our summer certification programs are open for enrollment, and you can find them on our website at prettydeadlyselfdefense.com/selfdefensetrainer, all one word. This podcast is produced by Singe Network for Pretty Deadly, recorded in Berlin, and our original music is the track Icarus Wish by Berlin band Dead Centuries, used with permission by the artists.